Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, the resident Marine's not here. Todd Maness is in for Christian, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. He is here. Coming up in this hour, we'll talk to Drew Brees, QB to QB with Bobby Hebert. Be coming up at 6:40, and today is Drew's birthday. Turns 41 today.
But he's a young 41. Todd, he had a December to remember, and I wish in the playoff game he could have carried the team. But
right.
In December, it's not by accident. They felt sorry for him, so he's the player of the month. It wasn't like he was the player of the month in September. It was December, so I think Drew has a lot left in the tank. I think he played more like a 31-year-old instead of a 41-year-old.
And we'll talk more about the Saints here. We've been talking about LSU the last 2 hours and Odell Beckham Jr. We're going to move on to the Saints now. And I've had some text on this, Bobby, and this is like failing upward, I guess you say. The NFL today announced who the referees would be for the Super Bowl in Miami, and it is Bill Vinovich.
Number 60.
Who is that, you say? Well, Saints fans, remember the infamous no call from the NFC Championship game last season? Yeah, he was the referee of that crew, and he will be the referee for the Super Bowl this year. Now, none of the other members of that officiating team are part of the Super Bowl crew. Obviously, he wasn't the one right there making the call, was he? Was he the one making the call? No, it was the other two.
The number 60 might be was the Santa Barbara guy.
That was the Santa Barbara guy. He's just he's the ref that was in charge of that crew. But
yeah, in charge of that crew. But if you're in charge of that crew, how you go for the NFC Championship game and that debacle to now you get rewarded with the Super Bowl? Is it seniority? I mean, what? I mean, what, they going to give him the Super Bowl, throw him a bone, then tell him, okay, you got to retire?
I don't know, but he is going to be ruling that, so keep an eye out on pass interference and all kind of penalties in the Super Bowl. But, you know, you were making an interesting thing before we head on to the Saints with the Super Bowl now. We know who's going to be in the championship round. It's the Titans are going to take on the Chiefs in Kansas City, and then Green Bay is heading over to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. And those of you that want to believe that there's some sort of conspiracy in the NFL as to who ends up in the Super Bowl, Bobby's laying the foundation for the latest one right now. Go ahead.
This is is this just a strange coincidence? And, you know, I always look at and acknowledge today in history.
Mm-hmm.
What occurred? Well, today in history, and obviously, we had a caller earlier because it is true. Drew Brees is, I didn't realize this. I knew Drew Brees was turning 41 today. I did not realize in 1929, Martin Luther King Jr. was born in Atlanta. So Drew Brees and Martin Luther King Jr. has the same birthday. But also, in 1967, the Green Bay Packers in the National Football League defeated the Kansas City Chiefs of the American Football League 35-10 in the first AFL-NFL World Championship game, retroactively known as Super Bowl I. So now, is this a coincidence, a strange coincidence? It's 100 years of the National Football League. I don't know. That looks kind of shady to me. If all of a sudden, if the Packers and the Chiefs end up in the Super Bowl, considering 100 years, the first Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Packers.
Yeah, but the first Super Bowl wasn't 100 years ago. It was only 50-something years ago.
But yeah, but it's like 100 years, and it's significant, and you're promoting the Super Bowl. So I'm going along. I'm going that route. I'm trying to, like, spin this to where, you know what I'm saying? Because that'd be far-fetched if the Chiefs are in.
Yeah.
But that would be an upset, I'm telling you right now,
if the Packers
beat the 49ers.
Now, see, my conspiracy on that, if it's the Packers and the Chiefs, is that the Super Bowl is being paid for by State Farm because they've got Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes as their two spokesmen.
Talk about hit the lottery. now, think about that. Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, State Farm, you know when you're involved in marketing and advertising, that is hitting a grand slam. However you describe it, if that would occur, and it could.
It could occur,
but...
I think they would be buying a lot of ads in the Super Bowl.
I look, there's a reason, and I think it's about right. And you say, well, how did they come up with this? Listen, Las Vegas, the reason why they're still in business is because they kind of know what they're doing. And I'm looking, Todd, you know what's weird? Seven and a half point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers and the Chiefs, seven and a half point favorite. And I'm telling you, I think I'm objective. I've read enough. That seems about right. Now, what's intriguing, because you know I like history, and we have not witnessed this. Listen, this is old school football. If you like old school football, you should cheer for the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
When you can win and your quarterback doesn't even have to throw for 100 yards, Ryan Tannehill, what? Derrick Henry, to me, might go down as the greatest Alabama running back ever. You might say, oh, what about Sean Alexander, Seattle Seahawks? Well, Derrick Henry's career ain't over.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I always say this, Todd, a number of times, and the fans let me know this, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Derrick Henry has been unfreaking believable. Nobody, okay, you know I like history. Nobody has ever run for at least 180 yards. Now, this is the National Football League. You don't have a bye week. Now, you're playing the little sisters of the poor. Nobody has ever run for at least 180 yards in three consecutive games before Derrick Henry. He has strung together games with 211 yards in the regular season final against the Houston Texans. You might say, well, what were the Texans playing for? I don't know. It's still an NFL game. He had a 211-yard gain in the last regular season game, followed that up, setting a franchise postseason rushing record against the best defense, 182 yards against the Patriots. Now, think about that. Who are you doing that against? Then you look at the Ravens. 195 yards that was we all thought would be the AFC favorite.
Right.
195 yards against Baltimore, which had been the NFL's fifth best rushing defense. So, Todd, I don't know. The Chiefs, I think you can run the ball against them. If they run against the Chiefs, they could beat the Chiefs. Listen, he's had 211, 182, 195. You know why they can beat him also? Guess what happened the last two times the Titans played the Chiefs? And it happened in November.
They won.
The Titans won. Now, it's only a field goal type game. It's really close. But the last two times they've played, the Titans have beat the Chiefs. So
Mahomes in that game or not?
Yeah.
Was that when he was injured?
That I don't know. Yeah. That's a trick question.
I threw you a curveball.
Yeah, you threw me a curveball there. I don't know. I know the last two times they played. We'd have to look. Is it November? Did he come back from the dislocated kneecap? That would be – I think he might have played. He might have been, hindered or limited, so to speak. But all I know is the Titans. The Titans are blue-collar – Nashville, you know how they get all excited about their hockey team, the Nashville Predators.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sure the fan base, Road Warriors, they're on the Titans bandwagon, because all of a sudden, I don't know if I told you this story, Todd. I guess I'm gonna tell you it now. I look at the Titans last time they were in the Super Bowl. You remember Jeff Fisher? They lost to the Rams right at the end. That was in Atlanta. I remember taking T-Bob and Bull to that Super Bowl because I did not want them to ever tell me. Well, Dad, you played in the NFL. You never took me to a Super Bowl. So, I got with – I never forget this. I got with Taylor Smith. Before Arthur Blank on the Falcons team, I go, Taylor, come on. I'll buy the tickets. I got to take my two boys to the Super Bowl. So, they're never going to tell me, well, Dad, your dad took you to the Super Bowl. What about you taking us I ended up taking them to that Rams-Titans Super Bowl in Atlanta. What was that, 1999, if I can recall?
Mm-hmm.
So, but listen, the Titans are old school. They're going to smash you in the mouth. And Pat Mahomes, that's the sexy team. You know, fantasy football. Oh, Pat Mahomes throwing this and that and how they came back, down 24 to Texans. But
well, to answer your question, Mahomes did not play in that game.
Oh, well, then that could have made all the difference in the world. Because I think it was only like a three-point victory, if I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
who ended up coming out on top. So.
Yeah, he got injured against the Broncos. They sat him out, and then they kept him out because the next two games after that were AFC West rivals, Chargers and Raiders. So they wanted to win those games.
The only thing I can say about that is that Pat Mahomes does not play defense, and he does not tackle Derrick Henry. So I'm not going to poo-poo Derrick Henry. And people don't realize, you know how when you look at a player, you know he was the 2015 Heisman winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at Mark Ingram, obviously playing with the Saints, but he was the 2015 Heisman winner, and he's basically accounted for 75% of the Titans' offense when you look at it and what he's been able to do. Now, you know, I love these numbers, Todd, that this is even, going back to 182 yards rushing, and he gained 204 of Tennessee's 272 yards of total offense. This is going in. This is against the Patriots. So in the Super Bowl era. So I'm looking at what you're establishing, and as far as teams know you're going to run, can you stop them? In the Super Bowl era, only two other players had biggest share of a team's total yards in the playoff game. I think we've heard of these guys. Eric Dickerson,
yes,
77% of the Rams game in 1986 against the Cowgirls was all Eric Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember this, Over the Hill Gang with George 76% Allen.
76% of that season was Eric Dickerson.
And now think how crazy that is. Then Larry Brown, Over the Hill Gang with George Allen, 76% of the Redskins against the 49ers, December 26, 1971. So you talk about old school football.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry is like Eric Dickerson and Larry Brown going back to the 70s. You're basically talking about 40, 50 years that it just goes to show you that okay, you want to be exciting and throw the ball around. But there's different ways you can skin a cat how you're going to win.
Well, they're total opposites in this AFC Championship.
Right.
The Chiefs are the flashy new team, throw the ball all over the place, make the crazy throws, and the Titans are just give the ball to the running back and keep pounding it and take all the time off the clock.
And this is something that's caught my attention, also being road warriors. You know, you got the home crowd behind you, they pat you on your back. He also has the second most yards on the road in the playoffs since 1950. Todd, that's right after World War II. What? What? Second most yards on the road in the playoffs since 1950. And he was part of the lawsuit, the antitrust lawsuit with myself. Only Freeman McNeil with the Jets ran for more with 202 yards against the Bengals back in 1983.
All right.
So when I look at Freeman McNeil, that's my buddy. I was there with Reggie White and all a magic man and all, how we attack in the NFL, trying to get free agency. Freeman McNeil was part of that. Gil Bird, not Jarris Bird.
Right.
His daddy.
Yep.
His daddy was coaching with Tampa Bay. So I'm getting some old school stuff here.
Yeah, you are. Someone says, you guys are wasting time on there. Bobby had all these stats. We had to get to them. So.
No, we had to get to because if you like history, you like football.
Yeah.
Don't you like dominant players?
Yeah. We're not wasting time. We're talking about the AFC Championship, which is coming up this weekend.
Why were you wasting your time? You freaking listening. I know that.
It's Sports Talk. He's Bobby Hebert. Tom Menezes is in for Christian Garrick. We'll be right back on WWL. And welcome back to Sports Talk here on WWL, our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll. Of the Saints' top free agents, which one besides Drew is an absolute need for the Saints next year? And we got a couple of choices on there. Obviously, we couldn't put them all because there are like 25 Saints players that are scheduled for some form of free agency.
A lot of decisions that need to be made, Todd.
Yeah, but these are the ones that most people are talking about that probably need to come back, or they think should come back. Safety Von Bell, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback Taysom Hill, linebacker A.J. Klein, defensive tackle David Onyemata, and left guard Andris Peat. So you can vote online at those right now at WWL.com. Cast your vote and tell us which one you think is an absolute need for the Saints next year. Bobby, out of that list, who would you think is an absolute need?
Well, obviously, I'm not going against Drew Brees simply because how he played in the month of December.
Well, it says besides Drew.
Oh, besides Drew.
Yeah, we pretty much expect he's going to come back.
I think on the back end, I'm a Von Bell fan. I think Von Bell, and I would guess, give him an honorable mention, David Onyemata, because I think he's still learning the game and the significant impact that he can have. Now, Todd, did we mention Zach Lyon is like retiring?
No, we have to mention that too. Zach Lyon's retiring. So.
And I'll tell you what, Zach Lyon is just look when he was playing how well we ran the ball when he was available. And what
better
Sean,
protection for Drew too?
And also we could go single back with him. You know, he wasn't just a pure fullback at SMU; he was a running back. You can give him the ball between the tackles and get 3 or 4 yards. And the trust factor that Sean Payton had in Zach Lyon. So that right there, you know, I think Zach Lyon's gonna be one of those guys. You're gonna say, oh, what he's doing now? He's coaching in the NFL. I don't know what he even has plans and what he wants to do. But I could see that coming about. I would say, you know, you mentioned Andres Pete. I don't know if they're going to pay Andres Pete. And you see, the one thing you got going for him and why there's going to be a market in National Football League, he's been dealing with injuries kind of up and down, is that, let's say, you might have wanted him to be an outstanding tackle, but he still could be a serviceable tackle in a pinch and get the job done. And I think when healthy, he could be a left guard that you could count on to start for a number of teams.
Right.
And is a run mauler. Sometimes his pass protection leaves a little bit to be desired as far as if that comes about. So I don't I think somebody's going to pay Andres Pete, but I don't think it's going to be the Saints.
I don't think either. He's on the list because he's one of those names that everyone recognizes.
Well, first-round draft pick. I mean, considering where we drafted him.
If we put quarterback Johnson Badamosi, no one's they wouldn't even know who that is.
They're like, who? He's on the team?
Yeah, he's on the team.
He's on
but
the
he's a
team,
free
who?
Agent.
So now when I look at – it'd be interesting to see because I think he's gotten better with his experience. A guy like P.J. Williams and where he's at. I think Eli Apple, even though the Saints don't have to deal with his mom, and you know that's no big deal. Eli Apple is an NFL player, but I think more at a team's price than his price. You know, considering where he was drafted. For in other words, I could still see the Saints talking to Eli Apple, kind of like almost a P.J. Williams like negotiation. Now Patrick Robinson had some stroke going his way because he was the top nickel corner, I should say, when he was playing with the Eagles and they won the Super Bowl, so we brought him back on board. But the one that I'm intrigued with is like Jadarius Jenkins, Jackrabbit. Do they extend his contract? He's 32 years of age, so that'll be interesting to do with him because they're going to, like his contract said, they got to pay him basically $11 million. So I could see, okay, we want Jadarius Jenkins around, but can we extend that contract maybe to help us with the salary cap?
Those voting right now, 86% say it's Taysom Hill needs to come back. And we'll talk to the other quarterback, Drew Brees. It's QB to QB coming up next here on the home of the New Orleans Saints. This is WWL. And welcome back to Sports Talk here on WWL, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Todd Meneses, as we wait to try to get hooked up with Drew Brees. I know he did attend up in Washington. He did attend the thing with Steve Gleason to get the Congressional Gold Medal today. So Drew was there, so we have a little bit of difficulty getting in touch with him. But those of you that are texting right now, talking about our opinion poll of the Saints' top free agents, which one besides Drew is an absolute need for the Saints next year? Now, some of these are, they're all different forms of free agency. Some are unrestricted, some like, or restricted free agents, which is what Taysom Hill would be. And right now, that is leading the voting is Taysom Hill, 72%, people saying that he definitely needs to come back to the Saints next year, followed by David Onyemata, safety Von Bell, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, which would be a stretch, linebacker A.J. Klein, and Andres Pete is finishing last, because I think most people agree with you, Bobby, that Andrus will not be back with the Saints.
Well, and this is a good observation of Taysom Hill, what Christian did, and I'm going to read it because I think it's right on. That, boy, talk about a player that how you could truly describe. Now, you ultimately, as a player, you want to be a quarterback because of the market. How are you going to get paid? But think about Taysom Hill. Quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, running back, kick returner, special teams like kickoff coverage units. So, you know, Swiss Army knife, and that's rare in the NFL. Because how many players I don't think I've witnessed. You got to go way back in the day when you used to play both ways.
I think the last time you saw anything like that was Cordell Stewart, probably. Truthfully.
Yeah, right. And
it wasn't even that as effective as Taysom Hill.
Or even and not even that much. That much of variety. I always say this, Taysom Hill, I've never seen a guy at that level how well he tackles and his aggressive nature. So Christian goes on to say, and I think it makes sense, what's the value? If the Saints tender him, and I think that's what the fans would have no problem with this, if they tender him as a first-round level, that would pay him $4.6 million this season. The other option is to not even let Hill test the free agent market and hammer out a long-term contract extension. And I don't think that'd be good PR for the Saints to part ways with Taysom Hill, and I think they know that. So I think Taysom Hill's going to get paid. I don't know how they're going to negotiate those years and the extension. But I think when all of a sudden him being a restricted free agent, when you tender him at a first round level, I think that's where Taysom Hill's at. That if you're not going to match,
but so you do the 4.6 or not the extended.
I would do the 4.6 and see what the market's going to bear. And then if somebody comes up with that, to me you got to match it. Because what Taysom Hill can do, I would take Taysom Hill over a first-round pick, simply because he's proven at the NFL level. Now, you might say, well, the way he plays, he eventually is going to get hurt like he did in college. Because the reason why we didn't hear Taysom Hill at Brigham Young, because he was hurt every year.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, Todd, he has not gotten hurt in the NFL. And think how aggressive he plays. So I wouldn't want to roll the dice and a fan favorite and just match whatever, him being a restricted free agent, you know, throw that out there, first-round tenure, and whatever other teams do, I would just match that.
Well, the reason he was hurt so much in college is he was the starting quarterback, and he was playing like Lamar Jackson and running the ball all over the place and doing out. So he was getting hit more than he's getting hit now. He's still that aggressive, but he's not out there every play.
He's not getting that like often. Yeah, more opportunities. Like instead of, let's say at most you would get hit a handful of times. How about all of a sudden you multiply that times three?
Right.
So three handfuls. So, yeah, the percentages come about. Now, this is interesting, Todd. I'm looking at this text from 2303. Guido Merkins the last all-purpose player.
For the Saints, yeah.
You know my connection with Guido Merkins? This I might be part of NFL history here. In 1985, before I ever threw a touchdown pass, it wasn't at Lambeau Field. It was Milwaukee County Stadium against the Packers before. I threw a bomb to Eugene Goodlow. I think it was about 72 yards, somewhere around there. Before I ever threw an NFL touchdown pass, I caught one. Guess who it was from?
Guido Merkins.
Now, do you know in the NFL that if you could throw it back to the quarterback, you got to be in the shotgun? You cannot be on the center.
Right.
Or you can't throw back to the quarterback. So I'm in shotgun. I remember a bum and it was King Hill, think of that name. King Hill, he was the offensive coordinator. So he sends in this play, and Guido's coming in at running back. I'm thinking, man, this ain't going to work. I go, what are we? And, you know, so all of a sudden, you know, we're going to run a sweep with Guido Merkins. So and I kind of casually lollygagging around. I'm coming out the backfield. Whoa, I'm going to catch the ball. The ball was kind of up there for a while. End up catching a touchdown pass from Guido Merkins. Now, you know what's crazy to show you the
So you did the Philly before the Eagles did it.
Yeah, it didn't look as pretty. It didn't look as pretty though. Todd, it didn't look as pretty. Yeah. You know what I mean? But in the
so that's where the Eagles got to play. Give me that old footage of A-Bear.
That I caught a touchdown pass before I actually threw a touchdown pass. And but talking about they can find you wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Guido Merkins went to Sam Houston, if I can recall, Sam Houston State. But Bum Phillips found him not on the football field, found him for some reason he was at a softball game. You know, he got these professional softball players.
Right.
They're like, man, who's this guy? He was like an all-world softball player, could do like everything. So that's how he had opportunity.
Hmm.
I'll never forget Guido Merkins. He could punt. That's one thing.
Right.
I don't know if Taysom Hill could punt. But Guido Merkins,
we haven't tried
could punt.
Yet. But
he could punt or be a punt returner.
Right.
A receiver or running back, and could be your emergency quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, but Guido Merkins, as good as he was from San Antonio, Texas, dad was a preacher. And I think he might have been selling cars at times. But anyway, I'm trying to reflect on, you know, with Guido and how old school he was. Even as good as he was, he still wasn't on the level of Taysom Hill.
Right.
So he was that good, but not on that level. But you know what his claim to fame was? In the L.A. Coliseum, I think this was
not throwing you the touchdown.
No, I had broke. No. This is he beat a Hall of Famer. This is unbelievable. It was in '86. I had a broken foot. Mm-hmm. Dave Wilson was that quarterback. I think it was. I'm almost sure it was in '86. L.A. Coliseum. When that's when the Raiders went to Los Angeles.
That game. Yeah,
he beat Michael Haynes.
Yeah.
On a fade route. I'm gonna talk about like a 30-yard fade route. And Michael Haynes is a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Right.
What? How can now think about that. Guido Merkins, Dave Wilson hit him on a fade route, touchdown, beat Michael Haynes, who was like all pro, Pro Football Hall of Famer on a fade route. So I think that had to be the play of his career, considering who he was going against.
I would think so. Got a text here. It says, nobody's going to give first and a ton of money for a 30-year-old Taysom Hill. If they do, we should take that money. Here we get a lot of text about this, and Joe Burrow, obviously, and with Brady going over to the Panthers, the Panthers having the number 7 pick, possible that they could move up. People are starting to talk about he's probably going to try to convince him to get Joe Burrow. People are texting us saying the Saints need to get Joe Burrow. Here's one that says the Saints need to trade Alvin Kamara and 2 number 1 picks to Cincinnati to get move up to get Joe Burrow.
Well, the reason why the Bengals don't want Alvin Kamara, they have that guy already,
mm-hmm.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Remember Joe Mixon? I think he was the one that beat his girlfriend in the restaurant or something, and then he, I don't know, obviously he's past that, that domestic violence dispute there. Obviously, you don't want, never want that on your resume, and I'm not making light of that. It's just that's what occurred with Joe Mixon. That's why he even fell in the draft. But they have that kind of guy.
Yeah.
When I look at, you know, how the game has changed, like Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, mm-hmm. Joe Mixon, that's why the Bengals don't want Alvin Kamara. They don't want him. Now, the number one draft picks, now that's different.
You might be able to maybe move up to 2 or 3. I don't know if you're going to get the one. I don't know if you're going to get that one from Cincinnati. Because look at it. We've talked about this. Joe Burrow, every expert is saying Joe Burrow is going first in the draft. And
the Bengals are not giving him up for nothing. They're not.
Because your dad, as you said, he had his dad on. Where he grew up is
2.5 hours, like 2 hours, 45 minutes, 2.5 hours from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Athens, Ohio.
Like Baton Rouge, New Orleans or something like that.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's
even closer than that.
It's right there. It's a couple hours. Then you're in Cincinnati. So then the Bengals aren't giving up that. They're not. Listen.
They want to put butts in the seats.
Yes, and what better than bringing down a hometown hero, a state
Heisman
of Ohio.
Heisman Trophy winner, national championship winner from the state, grew up around the area. I mean, what more do you want? The story's pretty much written for the Bengals right now.
Now, the only thing is that when you get a handful of, like, I can't pass up, but, you know, you can get it wrong. God, Mark, I want you to look this up and put it on the screen, or you could tell me and Todd. Look what the Bears gave up for Mitchell Trubisky to move up to number 2.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous, right? So some team might do something ridiculous that the Bengals cannot pass up because they want Joe Burrow that bad. I don't know if that'll happen, but you never know.
I think this would be the only time in Saints history that if Sean Payton went out and did the Mike Ditka trade and gave up the whole draft and then the next year's first round for Joe Burrow, I don't think you'd have fans upset.
Because of what we think locally
of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Now, and Joe Burrow, because Sean Payton knows, listen, don't you trust Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis at all if they thought Joe Burrow and they're going to talk with Joe Brady? Said, and you know, they'll have those conversations. Well, is Joe Burrow that good? Or was just like, God, it was unbelievable.
Was it the system or
yeah,
whatever,
the yeah. system and all that? Because that's the conversation you have behind yeah. the scenes to make all the throws. But I'm telling you, you know what I was convinced with Joe Burrow? The one thing I love tough football players. Because you can't coach that. Either you're tough or not. Either you're going to give up the ghost or not if somebody punches you in the mouth. Or look at Joe Burrow. He gets that rib shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, don't come near me. The doctor's anything. Get away. I'm ready. I'm not coming out.
Either you're tough or you're Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Okay. Either I'm going to give up the ghost or I'm going to play. Then you throw in his mind and how he processes stuff. But you know what else? The intangibles?
Mm-hmm.
He don't have to look like Lamar Jackson or
no.
How he extends plays. Look at the plays he's making with his feet. People say like, oh, he's very Tom Brady-like. Tom Brady can't hold Brady's jog the way he – Joe Burrow's jog the way he scrambles.
I think he's more Steve Young-like than Taysom Hill, truthfully.
Joe Burrow can scramble, extend plays, mm-hmm. and run. Look at his significant first downs. That when he tucked it and run.
Oh, yeah.
And still, he'll take a hit now and then. And, boy, now you don't want him to get hit like this. Look at that. I think it was the Auburn game at Tiger Stadium. He got the crap knocked out of him in the sidelines. He popped up like, mm-hmm. I guarantee he was hurting. He didn't never let him see you sweat.
Oh, he was hurting after that hit in the championship game.
Yeah, never. But
right before the half.
That, to me, is the instincts and how he extends plays and how he's able to run. I think kind of what separates him apart from a lot of, so to speak, pocket passers. He can hang in the pocket and make the throws and step up and all that. But just how he can extend plays and when he's in a bind, make plays with his feet and get that crucial first down.
Here's the text. Can the Saints get Joe Burrow when his 5-year commitment is up with the Bengals? Yeah, well, I mean, anything's possible at that point.
Yeah.
Do you want him? Do you want him 5 years down the road?
If you're unrestricted free agent, but if he's having success, why would the Bengals or
right.
well, why would they let him go?
I guess they're assuming that it's going to be like every Bengals quarterback. He's not going to have success. The Bengals and the Browns are known for chewing up QBs and spitting them out. And then when they go elsewhere, look at Carson Palmer when he went to Arizona. They suddenly find a new life.
Carson Palmer, there was two quarterbacks. I'm telling you, even Bill Belichick on this second one. Carson mm-hmm. Palmer, he was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback
yep.
that was legit. Remember when the Steelers cheap shot and hit him in the knee low?
Yeah.
That could have been a special year for the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Palmer was amongst the best, and the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, Bill
yeah.
Belichick. Watch if Tom Brady is not with the Patriots if Andy Dalton don't end up with the Patriots. Watch. I'm telling you. Bill Belichick is an Andy Dalton fan.
All right, Mark Menard has the answer for whatever you for the question
yeah,
you were asking
about
a minute ago.
Trubisky.
About Trubisky, yeah.
So this is what they gave up to get Mitchell Trubisky. They swapped picks, so number 3 overall pick. The Niners used that on Solomon Thomas, the defensive end out of Stanford. They got a third round pick that year, number 111, which was used on Tedrick Thompson, safety out of Colorado. They got a third round pick the next year, which was used on Fred Warner, linebacker out of BYU. But the most interesting thing was that the other pick that they gave him was number 67 overall. It was eventually traded to New Orleans, Alvin Kamara.
Wow.
Whoa, goes around, comes around.
Sure
but, you know that one pick, that player tied BYU?
Yeah.
Fred Warner.
Watch
Warner.
Fred Warner. Oh, Fred Warner. That guy should have been a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
NFL, he is unbelievable.
All right.
He brings it.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Tom Meneses. We'll take a break and get right back at Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, coming up next hour, we're going to talk to Mike Triplett, get a little bit more Saints. As we're getting into the Saints, we'll get your calls and text as well. And a lot of people want to know how the Saints could move up to get Joe Burrow. We'll try to sort all that out in everyone's crazy ways when we come back next hour.
We'll have Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis go play golf and just do like Ditka.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.